This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, you guys. It is me. I just wanted to pop in before the episode to let you know that Zach and I had a little movie discussion at the beginning, and there's definitely spoilers. So if you don't want Bodies, 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 or the movie Fall, or what else did we talk about? The Orphan, to be spoiled for you, go ahead and skip to the 15. I want to say it's like 15 minutes and 20 seconds. Otherwise, that's it. Yeah, I love you. I hope that you enjoy the episode. Okay, bye. Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to another episode of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady, and I don't even really need to, you can just assume at this point that Zach's going to be here every week. It's like where he's co-hosting the show with me.
You can just decide that for me. I could be anybody. You don't know. You should have let them guess first.
There is no guessing anymore.
They're like Kirby. It's Kirby.
Right. Something happened with Brittany. It's either Eat, Pray, Brittany, Kirby, or Zach. One of you guys is here. Zachary, how are you?
I'm great. I'm a little bit, my heart's racing a little bit right now, though. I don't know if it's the Starbucks, the Starby Starbs, or it's the fact that literally right before we started recording, she drops this fucking notes app, or not notes app. Yeah, it's like a notes app thing on Instagram, this whole ass thing to K-Fed and the kids. And so I guess we're going to do a dramatic reading of that one.
Yes, it deserves a dramatic reading. The funny thing is that Zach and I always, whenever something really big happens with Brittany, like, we always immediately want to talk about it, and then we'll wait because there's always more. And it's like, up until the moment that you record something about her, there's always something more. Yeah. So originally we were just going to talk about the voice note heard around the world. And also I wanted to talk to Zach about The Girls Next Door, because Holly and Bridget have launched their podcast. So
it's just like a general pop culture, what's going on in pop culture land as of today, right? Because we are like, our idea was we were going to wait until K-Fed's interview came out, and then we were going to kind of see what shockwaves happened, who was releasing what, and do a whole episode with that. Well, I got people in my DMs asking for the Hold Me Closer reaction video. I got people asking for the voice note reaction video. And so we got to do something, because otherwise we're going to be overwhelmed. And I'm not a Britney Spears podcaster, you know. I come on to Dunzo to talk about it. I feel stressed out for you, Britney, because they're all...
I can't even imagine.
This is the shit I need.
I can't even imagine. They are... Yeah. And Britney is always like... She's always one step ahead. Every time they've got their episode locked down, Britney does some crazy shit.
Came out like a day ago, didn't it? Like their new one? Yeah.
Always. But no, and I also, I mean, every time something happens, I get so many DMs from people being like, where's the Zach moment? When are you guys talking about it? So we're going to do that today. Should we start with something light and fun like Bridget and
Let's Ellie? Do it. Let's do something fluffy. you have in your notes here movies we've watched recently. So where would you like to go with that? Let's.
Okay, so I've been on a real movie kick. I've been going to the movies a lot. I've been watching
all
a lot
of the movies. You've just seen everything.
I know. I've just been killing it. Let's start with Orphan.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I was totally expecting a copy-paste moment. By the way, spoilers.
Yes.
I was totally expecting a copy-paste moment, and I was perfectly ready for that, and I was going to be really happy with that, right? I was going to be really happy with just an adult woman masquerading as an orphan child and killing people. Like, I was good with that. The fucking twist about halfway through, or like however, like one third through, or wild.
Incredible. Like, this movie is exactly, first of all, this movie knows what it is. Mm-hmm. It's camp, it's a little cheesy, it's fun. It's like actually still like a great story. And the acting is actually really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just everything that you hope the orphan will be. Like, it literally gives you what you wanted. And fucking Julia Stiles, like, hello.
Yeah, Julia Stiles, man, like, where is she? I, you know, one of the first things I ever saw, for sure was Save the Last Dance. But I remember when I was like old enough to start going to movie theaters by myself, and I went and saw The Omen on 666 day, and I thought I was gonna die that day. Jesus was speaking through me. I was like obsessed with her in that fucking movie, wearing her shawl and falling off the balcony. And like, and I love her in horror, and I want her in some more horror movies, you know?
Yeah. She was like so great in this movie. And again, spoilers, if you haven't seen it, like skip ahead, but you know, she basically like goes toe to toe with the
you almost feel bad for Esther. Esther's got this face this entire book and movie, like what the fuck, the family am I
right getting myself like into, you know, fuck, I could have picked any family, fuck, I picked,
I'm just trying lunatic to fuck this dad here, and she's like cock blocking me, you know. There is a shot at the very end where, like, I don't know, they're all standing on a roof, it's beautiful, and the house is on fire, and he is like, has rescued her, the dad has rescued Esther, not knowing that she's this old woman, and he like touches her face and her fucking teeth fall out.
And the way it was done was perfect.
Camp greatness.
He's like, who the hell are you?
Highly recommend this one.
Yeah, it's a real popcorn movie. If you guys haven't seen it, please, please, please see it. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to talk to you specifically about Fall. If you don't know, Fall is this movie that's out in theaters actually right now about these two girls that
It's so simple.
It's so dumb. Like, they climb a phone tower?
I don't know what the tower is for. It's just a tower, and it's higher than the Eiffel Tower is what they say at some point. So it's like a real tall fucking tower. They climb up it. The first half hour of the movie is just like sweaty hands, sweaty feet. Can't look at the screen, right? But that's the whole premise, is they climb a tower, they get stuck because the ladder falls off, and they're stuck at the top of the tower for the entire movie. It's very much like 47 meters down. It's like that kind of situational thriller movie, and it's supposed to provoke anxiety in you. But
I think it's the same director.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. The cinematography was great. Directing was great. Acting was great. I loved them. I loved their relationship. This movie was so fucking mean and cruel to these girls, though, that I cannot look past it. And it, like, bumped it down to, like, a 1 out of 5 for me.
I know. You hated that.
Yes.
It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you, but I got it. But it didn't... I just felt like it was cruel in a way that didn't feel, like, deserved. It was like, okay, like...
It was just mean. Because the entire movie is mean. They just keep going through, like, they keep getting hit after hit after hit. Like, one thing after another keeps happening. And that's, you know, that's a movie like that, right? And it's fun, and I could have done with it. But then there's this twist, like, towards the end, that's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And so, like, predictable that I didn't think they were going to go that route. And then they do. I thought she was just going to be having a nightmare or something. And then... It's like, I guess what happens, and that's what sent it over the edge for me. I'm like, that's too mean, because the whole message of the movie, I guess, right, is like overcoming the hardships in your life and the anxieties you have, or the trauma that you have is a big one, right? Because at the beginning of the movie, she's like married to Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son, right? What's his name? Mason.
Mason
Gooding Jr. Yeah. And he he really is. And he like dies at the beginning of this movie. And so she's like traumatized because they were climbing. They climb things. Yes. And he falls and he dies, and she watches it. And so she's so traumatized that her friend has to get her back into climbing in order to conquer her fears. And by the end, her friend falls and fucking dies too. So like, tell me where that message is supposed to come in, that she has conquered her fears, because now she's twice as traumatized.
Well, I think that I feel like they, for one thing, felt like they needed to like add some interesting thing, because otherwise it would have just been a movie about them being stuck up on the thing and then they get down, which I get. You know, I mean, that should be your,
that's your quote for the poster.
They're up on this like thing and then they get down. That's the fuck. That's literally the movie. And I don't know. I felt like it's like, what is a horror movie if nobody dies kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
But it did just feel really random and unnecessary, and like you said, cruel. And but I will say that this is like a genre of horror that I feel like never gets talked about. I don't even know if they have a name for it, but just like stranded horror is so fun.
There's plenty of them, and I love it. I love it. Like 47 Meters Down is one of my favorite movies. I think it is so fun. And 47 Meters Down is pretty cruel too, right? Like, but it just, I guess it has the same damn twist. So it's copy paste formula, but I just, there's something about this one that I just hated, because I did enjoy their friendship and I thought they were going to like make it past this, right? Like overcome your fear, overcome your trauma. And at the very end, like they pull this stupid ass twist, and it just didn't land for me. I hate it. I hate this fucking movie.
I know. When I saw you say how much you hated it on Coffee and Tequila, I was shocked.
Like, I thought I was going to love it, because I do love this genre, like you said. And I watched it because of you, too. You know that?
I know.
Because he texted me like, if I was so good.
It was. Listen, I thought it was good.
Well, it is amazing.
And I also, the thing that I love about movies like this is that no matter how good or bad they are, they're always watchable. Like, you know, Open Water. I mean, that one with Blake Lively, where she's like on that little island with the. That's great. The alligator one that came out a little bit ago was great.
Oh, Crawl was a really good one too. All fantastic. Were you in Miami when you watched this one?
No, actually, okay. I had just gotten back. Yeah, I just gotten back.
Okay.
Yeah. I also wanted to talk to you just really quickly about Bodies, because we both
fantastic.
Love 5 out of 5. Movie. Yeah.
Wonderful. It's so fun.
So good.
I want to have a hurricane party.
What the fuck is a hurricane? Is that a real... People, please tell me.
I have never had a hurricane party. I don't know. I'm assuming people do that, right? Or like a tornado party or something like that.
I've never lived somewhere where that would be a thing. But if that is, I'm trying to go to a fucking hurricane party. That shit looked fun.
Yeah. It was great. This movie was so fun, and it felt like I was there, and it made me miss college a lot, because it reminded me of college, and I'm about to be 30 in a couple years, and I just want to play again. I want to get drunk. I want to get high. I want to go and play hide and seek in a dark house and, you know, play bodies. My favorite fucking part is when the main girl says, who wants to play bodies? And you just hear off screen Rachel said it's like scream. It's like I could not stop fucking laughing.
It's so funny. And it's like legit funny. Like it's like belly laugh, like you're uncomfortably laughing in the theater. Funny,
and there wasn't a single person character in there that I didn't like. I loved everybody, even like Skeet, you know.
Yes,
Skeet Davidson at the very end, the whole TikTok death. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah,
my theater would not just shut up. That we were laughing so hard.
Yeah. And this feels like if you are a Pete fan, if somehow you still desire Pete after all these months, this feels like his last moment of in the sun for me. Like,
do you think? Oh my goodness, this is turning into a Beyond the Blondes. which how do I do this? Which star
riddle me
has broken up with a Hollywood reality A-lister and terrible at this.
You have to give him a cool nickname, like something like what's the guy's name in
Skeet Papsmeer was I don't fucking know, man, but it is funny that like he broke up with Chris. Like, you want to talk about Chris Jenner working hard? Chris Jenner, if this was anything to do with Chris Jenner, she sure got some promo for that movie, you know, because they broke up right when this movie came out.
I just feel like he always, first of all, Pete always plays himself. He always just plays himself. And in this movie, it worked like really well, but he can't do this again.
I mean, he could. He wasn't in it very long either, though. So I think that worked in to his benefit as well.
He literally has a line at the beginning of this movie where he's like, "I look like I fuck. I look like the kind of guy that fucks." It's like,
But I fuck. I thought it was so funny. I thought it was great. I loved it.
Amazing.
He was awesome in this.
No, yeah, I can't recommend this movie enough to anybody who hasn't seen it. Like, there are people complaining about the dialogue and saying that it was like,
it's just so stupid, by the way, because you're obviously not getting the
point. You're not getting the point. Okay? They're making fun of people.
Let me push my film snob glasses up and explain it to you for a fucking second. That the point is, all of these people are criticizing each other for Twitter speak and buzzwords and all of these like whiny ass opinions that this generation has these days, myself included.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're doing it themselves and they are a hypocrite. So I am telling, when Rachel Sennett is telling Jordan, you're not even rags to riches, you're middle class, right? Or because Jordan was telling her that, you know, her podcast sucks or whatever it was that, I don't know, just the hypocrisy is the point there, is that we're all like pointing at each other and telling each other something. Meanwhile, we're doing the exact same thing ourselves.
Yeah, they're like calling each other like ableists and like all of this stuff. And
it's so funny.
When
Alice, they back Alice into the corner because she says, "You're telling me a black woman or a black woman of color that I," whatever it was she was saying. And she was like, "No, I'm an ally. She doesn't know what the fuck to say," because we all like talk each other into these fucking corners, you know, where you can't be any ounce of problematic. Meanwhile, we are 24/7. Anyway.
Everybody, we're all rotten pieces of shit.
So that's a rotten piece of shit behind a paywall, you know?
Right, exactly. You're paying to hear a piece of shit. So that was our Siskel and Ebert moment.
Yeah. So
that
good.
Was truly just selfishly I wanted to talk to you about those movies.
Absolutely. Troy just wants another podcast where he talks about movies, so he's just kind of funneling it through here.
I'm just trying to kind of dip my toes a little. Mm-hmm. I do deeply want to talk about Bridget and Holly.
Mm-hmm.
I have things to say.
We've got 3 episodes of this podcast. What is it called? I don't even remember what it's called. Just Girls Next Door, right?
No, it's called Girls
Next Level.
Next Level, yeah.
Okay.
You're caught up, right?
I am. The picture is fantastic. I love the picture that they did for it. I love that the logo is basically the same damn logo. Mm-hmm. It is. I thought they were going to be going episode by episode, is kind of what I assumed it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And they are fully going into the background, everything. They are not even. We haven't even reached episodes of the show yet. We are going through the entire back history, and it is wonderful.
We're being fed.
Yes.
We're being fucking fed. And like. Mm-hmm.
Holly is making sure we're going to be fucking fed.
I mean, and good for her.
Yes.
Honestly. I honestly, like, the thing that I love is that they're not just, like you said, jumping into it. They're, like, doing the background of their friendships. They're doing, like, the politics between the girlfriends. They're talking about, like, the rules at the mansion. And so far, each episode has been themed.
I've noticed they don't have if you've been listening to Back to the Beach with Kristen Cavallari and Steven, they have ads already from like the very beginning. This one does not have ads. I can see where ads are supposed to be, like I can hear it because I edit so damn much, and they just don't have any. It's so weird to me that they weren't able to already secure like advertising for this.
Well, especially considering it was already charting before they even released their first
charting episode. Before that, and every episode they do, they get headlines off of. I see headlines like the headline from this latest one was that Hef cries, you know, to get what he wants. Like, they are providing, like, people are talking about it. People are clearly listening to all of this. So I hope they get some sponsors here soon.
I also love that. So you and I both watch Holly's YouTube channel. And I am obsessed with the fact that Holly has actually already kind of like gone through the episode. So it feels like she's really like the way that Holly is tuned in, she is like in it.
She is as in it as she is sitting on her bed watching the girls next door. We can see the reflection in the bed, right?
Yes.
Like that's she is never going to, she has been able to talk about this whole situation and has never shut up about it, and not in a bad way. I fucking love it.
Yes.
I love that she is just spilling every single thing.
Yeah.
The way they have this organized is really great too, because they kind of start talking about Playboy, the brand, and how as little girls, they kind of, you know, the story tracks from the show. It's like, mm-hmm. I remember seeing my dad's magazines, and that made me want to be in Playboy. And we thought it was so glamorous, nothing wrong with it. All the way through to like they're getting into LA and how they end up at the mansion, how they end up talking to Hiff, and how they end up girlfriends. And it's just, we're getting everything.
Yeah. The story that the girls next door could have never possibly in a million years told. Like, this is like,
this is the greatest, like one of the greatest reality show arcs ever, because we get the girls next door, pretty puff piece. And now we are getting, I think everybody who's ever worked on a reality show should be shitting themselves if they did any sort of problematic stuff, because things like this will happen, right? Like 15 years later, somebody's going to do a podcast exposing the whole Flavor Flav situation, you know, like it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, it is coming. It's gonna happen. Mm. And I know that you're a Bridget girl, and I love Bridget too. I love Bridget, but you know what? I'm through and through a Holly bitch.
Like, this sounds like a butt though. Yeah, I'm
going with this, a butt Troy. Coming. There's a butt coming. I'm shocked. I've always been really anxious to hear what Bridget's perspective would be, right? Because mm-hmm. she doesn't talk about this stuff. And I was watching an Entertainment Tonight interview with them. And you know, Holly is like Annie Oakley, guns ablaze, like exposing shit really constantly. Yeah. But Bridget doesn't really do that, and she's been kind of reserved about her, you know, giving her opinions and stuff. And she said on Entertainment Tonight that she was really upset that she did the Playboy documentary because
Bridget was
like highly upset. She regrets doing it because she turned it down like a bunch of times. And she said, like, I just want you guys to paint me in the correct light, because she said I didn't have a negative experience.
Yes.
And they were like, well, we'll be honest about how you felt. So she did the doc, and they like put her into the perspective of like, we all hated it. But like, Bridget still looks at her time at this mansion with like very rose colored glasses. Like,
but this is okay. I think this is really okay, because me and you even talked about this before it came out. And we were like, well, Bridget has like kept so quiet about this that we are going to just get this watershed moment where we are going to hear everything, and it's all going to come out. And really what we're hearing is consistent with what she's always said.
It's true.
That she really didn't have a horrible experience. You know, I'm sure that she had things that were negative, but it seems like the greater benefit to doing this whole thing has far outweighed anything else, right? Because Bridget was the one that they were saying was overweight and was like the fat one, or was, you know, the older one. She's the oldest one, right, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they were all, everybody was always talking about Bridget, but I really admire that really didn't muddy her time and what she kind of views it as. And
she doesn't waver. She's like very consistent with what she says, always.
She's consistent with what she says, and if she thinks something was weird, she says it was weird. She said it was bad. She said that experience was weird. That experience was bad. So she's not sugarcoating anything, but also, just like me on any podcast, Holly overtakes the entire conversation, that it's really kind of hard for Bridget to get a word edgewise. And I love you, Holly. I love you, Holly.
It's
There's
true.
A few times where Holly's like, especially in this last episode, Bridget, what was your experience with that? Bridget will say a couple words and Holly's like, yeah, and you know what? When I was having sex with
She's like, being someone who grew up in a mountain area, like she'll start up at the beginning of her life again.
She will. And she goes back. She goes back months before Bridget's experiences and like goes through the whole thing. Like Bridget maybe said like two words during this latest episode. I thought this latest one was really interesting because, and I think it paints sort of what you're saying here, is that Holly was really talking about how like everybody is there for benefits. Everybody's there to like, get a check, to get to benefit economically, whatever. And then Bridget kind of cuts in, and I feel like Bridget's a little, she doesn't cut in all that much. So it was interesting to hear her cut in. And she said, well, actually, what do you think about people who are just there for the experience and really just wanted the experience of the whole thing and weren't really after, like, you know,
right,
a boatload of money? And she said, because I was kind of there for the experience. And Holly immediately says, no, nobody was there for just the experience.
Yeah, you can tell that, like, they're just... I guess I just really admire the fact that they both went through this, like, wild experience. And they... It's, like, obviously a really, really formative thing for both of them in their lives, but they feel completely opposite about it. Like, they are, they literally couldn't be more opposite about it, but they're such compatible friends that it's, like, fine.
Because they can talk about it. That's the thing here. This is why I still kind of am on I still kind of think that Kendra belongs on this too. Like, I think it would be so fucking interesting to have all three of them giving their perspectives, because especially with how different we're seeing Holly and Bridget's experiences already, and they agree on a lot, but it is clear that they did have very different experiences. And we also have to keep that in mind, that each of their experiences are valid. It is valid that Bridget had a better time than Holly. Absolutely. Holly was the, she makes sure to let you know every single time she was the main girlfriend. Her experience was absolutely different than everybody else's in there. It was not ever going to be the same as anybody else's. And she also says that Kendra was, by the time she got in there, she was the perpetual new girl. She never had to level up and had to, like, do anything outside of her comfort zone. So it was always kind of like she was the new girl. So they had three completely different experiences as well, you know?
Yeah. And that's just, I really like hearing about the pre-Girls Next Door years. I like hearing about when it was, like, I think 12 girls or, like, 12 girlfriends. And just, like, the cattiness, like the politics, and just how crazy it was. Like, they told these stories about the way that the girls would, like, sabotage each other. And their one friend Stacy, who's always on the show that I'm, like, obsessed with, the girls, like, plotted this whole, because Hef very famously didn't like pornography. He didn't like girls that, in quotes, did porn.
Yeah,
they weren't good girls. And this girl, Stacy, had, like, done some fetish porn because that was her job. She was, like, a fetish model. And the girls, like, even though they all did fetish porn too, and they were in the same porn as the literal same video.
Yeah.
Like, they pulled up screen grabs or whatever of, like, her in this movie, and they got her kicked out of the house. And, like, it just, I don't know. It just, the way that they describe, like, their daily life is just wild.
It is wild. And we've heard all of this from Holly's book. Like, Holly released a book about this, and it was really good. It's just, this is so much better for her because she can just rant as much as she fucking wants. She owns the podcast. She, you know, she can say whatever the hell she wants on it. She's not having editors overlook her and making cuts and cutting chapters. And I love that, because we're getting so much more detail here. It really is, like, a wild experience that, you know, when they would all go up and have sex with Hef, like, as she became the main girlfriend, or, like, even at first they were all pushing her onto him already, right? Like, so that she would have to do all of the work, and then she becomes the main girlfriend and is literally, you know, doing sex acts with him. Yeah. And she can hear the other girls, like, talking shit about her, like, right, like, 2 feet away, you know? Like, how wild of an experience is that? So I can't even, like, imagine.
And knowing that they're pushing you on him as, like, a, like, there's so much manipulation going on every second, every single moment. Like, it doesn't stop. And I also, the other thing that I wanted to talk about before we, like, move on from this was the money. Because that's something that they don't.
Yes.
They, like, even in Holly's book, she didn't really talk about the politics of the money that much. Yes. And I really, for the first time, I feel like ever, like, got it when I was listening.
I want to know sums, though. Like, this is my need to know even more, because they talk about the allowance. So at this point in the third episode, Bridget and Holly are both in the house already, and they talk about their allowance and how, like, kind of embarrassing it was that they would have to, like, go and find him to ask for their allowance, and that sometimes he would give you, like, a progress report and let you know how you're doing.
Like, you didn't have sex with me last night.
He would go to a safe, and Hef had this black book that he logged each girl that had sex with him, when they had sex with him, how they had sex with him. Maybe he has, Holly says that he had like nudes of everybody, yeah, and like limos and during sex and all of that. Like this file of revenge porn that he would kind of pull out, flip through in front of you, and then hand you your allowance, right? Like, whoa.
Yeah. And that was funny when Holly was like, I wanted to burn that book so bad when I left. Like
she said, I wanted to go to the house when he died. I wanted to go find it.
Like that is wild, but it does. And yeah. And they said that, like, you know, sometimes he would like purposely inconvenience the girls, were like, this is the only money you're getting. You're not allowed to work and you haven't had money all week. And you know, they needed this money to buy Playboy merchandise to like wear or whatever.
They had requirements that they had to show up with certain things, so they didn't have to go and spend their money on it. Bridget even says that she was so embarrassed to go and ask for it sometimes that she would she would go like a week or two without asking for allowance, and then all the other girls would be pissed at her because they're like, if you don't ask for your allowance, he thinks we don't need it, and so you need to go and do that. And so they would start doubling up, like going together and asking so that they weren't alone, right? Like the power play and the dynamics are just wild to me. Somebody needs to make a show about that. Not a reality show, like a legit scripted show. Like a
TV show, yeah.
I'd HBO, take it on, you know?
And Hef would say... Hef would say, well, Bridget's being financially responsible. Like, use her as the example of like what, like how they could be a little bit more tight with their budgets. It's like, oh, God. But no, if you guys haven't listened to, I honestly, all of it, read. If you haven't read Holly's book, read it. If you haven't watched her YouTube, watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
She just did a archive tour of all of her archived Girls Next Door memorabilia and clothing.
I didn't watch that one.
Oh my God.
What? Do you have the bobbleheads? I feel like you would have the bobbleheads.
No, I don't. I wish.
Well, Christmas is coming up, Troy.
I don't, Zachary. There you go. But yeah, go listen to the podcast, you guys. It's amazing. And Holly, Bridget, we know that you're listening and we love you so much.
Oh, yes. Keep doing what you're doing. And also, like, talk to us. Do a podcast with us. Yes. We want to talk about it.
Please. We're the queens for it. Please. Okay. Let's do this now.
Are we on Brittany?
Let's do it. okay. People. Okay. So I have things that I have to ask you first because people want to know things.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of requests about your thoughts on Tiny Dancer.
I think I did listen to the leak.
Yeah.
I told myself, if I listen to the leak, I'm going to stream it twice as much as I ever listened to it on the leak, right?
Yes.
It's okay. I think... And I've streamed it every day, so nobody fucking come for me, okay? I'm pushing her ass into the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100, okay? Don't come for me. I was a little underwhelmed, I think. I think at first it had some newness, it had some novelty, I really loved it. And then that kind of wore off for me a little bit. I like it. It's like a good, it's definitely a song I will put on my rotation and have playing while I'm like editing or something like that, right? But I don't find myself like... I don't know. I'm not really dancing to it, you know? I think my biggest hang up with it is that her voice barely comes above the music. And I was hoping that was something that was going to be like tweaked and that we were going to hear her a little bit more. But their voices are kind of like infused with the music, which could be the intention. And if so, then, you know, it works because their voices just sound like another, you know, electronic beat.
Right.
I don't know. I don't dislike it though. I think if I don't rate it, I'd give it like a 3.5 out of 5.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost wish that I don't almost. I 100% wish that I had not heard the leak.
Yes.
Because I'm 90% sure I'd like it way more if I didn't know that the leak existed. Because the leak was like Britney's song.
Yeah.
Like the leak was Britney's song featuring Elton, and then they took all of her like riffs and runs out of it, and now it's like it just feels much more flat. That being said, I agree with you. Like it's a real easy listening song, and I think it's like great for like TikTok too. Like it lends itself to being like a background song. Like it's just easy to listen to, but I'm not gallivanting. I'm not,
yeah,
you know, my hips are not moving to it. I just like, I like it. I think it sounds good. I'm excited that it's doing so well.
Yes, it's like projected to go into, I never know how, I listen to Twitter, guys. I listen to random people's tweets on Twitter, so I don't know if any of this is true, but I heard somebody, Brittany the Stan, say that it was supposed, it's supposed to be charting at like number 5 when it comes out, which is great for her, right? Like that's a, yeah, that's a solid, I don't know, it's a cover song. It's not really a release. She's not doing promo for it. I feel like this was just her dipping her toe back into to music again. So I didn't expect it to really like do phenomenal. I knew I was mm-hmm. going to stream it, but I was like, is it going to get radio play? I don't know.
I think they're saying that it's going to be, well, it could be her highest charting single since Scream and Shout.
So I'm very happy about that because I want her to do well. I want her to feel encouraged by music. And I think just with all of her songs, I kind of just have this, these dances that I do in my head, right, while I'm mm-hmm. listening to them, or like, you know, if I'm in the shower, I'll do like my own little moves, right? Like I have that, if you see Amy, kind of like hip thrust thing that she does on stage. I, but with this one, I just don't like. I can't. I just at this at this point in time, I just don't. I don't know my little tiny dancer move. What is my tiny dancer move?
I mean, it's definitely. It feels like a spinning song for me. This is like. She's really, it's a one of those mm-hmm. fairy gliders. Those fairies.
The pool ones, the ones that are illegal now. Troy. Yeah,
they catch little girls' hair. Yes.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. Maybe I'm just not a spinner, but I do love it. She's great on it. And I agree with you that I love when she just goes off on the riffs and stuff. I think that's the shining moment of that song is, you know, when she's like,
you know, all of that. Okay? Yeah. Yes. The lip quivering Britney, the growling, the grunting, the carrying on.
I love all of that.
Well, let's talk about this voice note. The voice note heard around the world.
I won't call it her podcast. She started a podcast, everybody. Yes. And this is, ooh, this is,
don't even
say
it.
I have my notifications on for Instagram. I turned it on for Twitter. Like her different little social medias, I did not expect YouTube.
I mean, she really is a social media queen at this point. She's an influencer.
Oh, yes. She's an influencer. I love it. I love it.
You know? Tell me where you were and what you were doing when this happened, when this note came out.
Oh, fuck. I don't even remember what I was doing. I was doing something not super strenuous because I texted it to you right immediately.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was doing, but I remember like listening to it immediately. So I must have not have been doing anything important. And it was just, this is like what I want from her. I love what she said. She made it very clear. I love that she's telling her own story on her own terms, right? She made it very clear that that is what she intends to do here. Mm-hmm. Is that we all keep talking about her. And keep talking about what her career moves are going to be. And we talk like we're in her damn ear, have any control over like what she's going to do next.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I am. I just, it's so simple for me to just turn on my voice note and record something and talk about it and talk about what I want to talk about. And it doesn't, I've been offered all this money to do Oprah or to do, you know, all of these different interviews.
Yeah.
And that point here is not the comeback. And I think we forget that sometimes, guys. I think we forget that it's not the comeback. It's her finally getting to speak.
Yeah.
And I know I forget that sometimes because I start thinking of like, how is Britney coming back? Right. How is she coming back? This book, the book is going to be coming out. It's going to be number one book. And what is she going to do with the book? She's going to, who's going to interview her and stuff like that. Very much caught up in that. She is not like, even with this Hold Me Closer song, I was thinking video. I was thinking, you know, promotion. I was thinking full on cover image that we were going to get a brand new cover image for it, like a single image. She's not there. She's just like, I am just let me put things out in the easiest way that I can, right? The way that's most comfortable to me. And if, for, you know, what's most comfortable with me is a voice note, you know, super easy.
Well, I wouldn't say that I blame you or me or anybody that like feels that way though, because.
No, I think it's just natural, right?
It's just natural. And I also can't think of any, I was like trying to think of other famous people as you were saying that. Even famous people that we've seen go through like hardships or like turmoil or like public whatever. Yeah. And like, I don't think we've ever seen a person famous on Britney's level, like Michael Jackson, Whitney, Mariah level famous, mm-hmm. not having any management. She's basically not in the entertainment industry, but like yeah. she is in it. She's still a huge part of it, and she's makes up like however many billions of dollars a day in like media coverage for so many different people, but she's like not a working artist. That's really wild.
Yeah. Like, she is still on her same level. I think a lot of people measure success by if you're charting at the moment, or if you're like, this is what the Hold Me Closer thing is kind of what's bothering me, is that people are so focused on what it's going to chart.
Right.
And I think putting more pressure out there into that universe and not living up to that is even more harmful than just being like, it's fucking out. We have new music from Britney Spears in the first time exactly. in 6 years, right?
Exactly.
Like, but it is very like natural to us to do that and to be like, you know, chart-topping queen of pop yeah. or princess of pop. And, you know, she's back, baby. She's back. And really, she never went anywhere. She's just, like, able to speak now. And she's going to do it the way she wants to do it. And I think that's something that we need to start taking more note of, is, like, the different ways that anybody can sort of tell their story, right? Mm. Anybody. Because she is at the top. She is at this highest point, even without, you know, 50 number ones on the Hot 100 at the same time, you know, she's never going to fall. She's always going to yeah. be Britney fucking Spears. Like, that's a name.
And I feel like for her, it only solidifies her icon status even more. Like, when she said in her video, like, I have the almost number one song in the country right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I'm not even signed.
Yeah.
Like, I literally.
Is she not? I don't actually know what the details on that. Is she not signed with anybody?
I think that she's still with her record label, but she's not like a working artist, you okay. know? Like, mm-hmm. and it's just, I mean, she doesn't even have management.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hudson.
Like, it's crazy that she can just kind of, she could release an album of Static if she wanted to, and it would be like, she has so much power.
Yeah.
You know? And that's got to be really overwhelming for her to think, like, God, I can just, I mean, the whole world is talking about me. Like, they're obsessed yeah. with me at the moment, you know?
And I like that she feels most comfortable just kind of scaling it back and releasing it, because it feels very much Mona Lisa Britney, doesn't it? Her walking into a record label with just a song that she's fucking in love with at the moment and playing it for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like because Elton was on this song, they released it in the way they could. I'm sure Elton was sitting there going, Britney, you don't want to do a picture? You want to take a picture?
Yeah. She's probably like, let's put it on SoundCloud.
She's like, SoundCloud. She just sends two emojis. And he's like, I guess we'll do that. do you have, he calls Cade. He said, do you have a baby picture of Britney, maybe? Can we use that? Yeah. He just goes, Kate goes up to a picture in her house and just takes a picture of it through the picture frame. It's like very much just bare minimum effort, right? Mm-hmm. And she, you can tell she fucking loves that. And she's always loved it like that, right? You know, yeah. even with Blackout, the one Ryan Seacrest interview she did, she was just giggling with all of her friends and, you know, on the phone. she is kind of, I don't know, she doesn't really fall into the big hoopla of yeah. release like a lot of people do, you know, even with surprise albums, right? Like, anybody who's ever done a surprise album since they became the most popular thing, there's still a lot of hoopla around it. It's not really a surprise, it's a whole rollout, you know. She's really is doing this.
She's such a non-celebrity.
She doesn't care.
She's give she a just fuck.
Doesn't care. No.
And people cannot wrap their heads around it. They've never been able to wrap their heads around the
I
don't fact know if
I can either. It's really hard for me still.
I know.
Just because I'm thinking in terms of somebody who's never been in the music industry and don't know nobody in the music industry, I'm thinking about, well, what's our rollout, Britney? What are we doing, Britney? Right.
She's like, Instagram.
And then right in the middle of the Hold Me Closer promotion in the first week, she deletes her Instagram.
Yes. Zero said, fucks I don't give it. A fuck. I want you guys
it's
to know.
Just like, she's like a whack-a-mole just popping up in different places. She pops up on YouTube and then puts her head back down, deletes the video. It's like it went private almost immediately. Okay. I'm so glad people were she's able like, to record it.
She's like trying to download Vine right now and doesn't get why it's not working. She's like, where is it?
Oh my God.
Well, so the I wrote down some kind of bullet points of stuff that she talked about.
Yeah.
Like her big points that she had made. Of course, the first being that she did turn down money. Like you said, she had turned down Oprah. And I just think, like, that's fucking incredible and so badass and such a middle finger to this industry that doesn't really deserve her. Like, she, yeah. Like, nobody deserves to profit off of her explaining herself. Not really.
And everybody can have wonderful intentions. Like, I do believe that Drew Barrymore would have had fantastic intentions having done something with her, right? Totally. But it still would have been a benefit to Drew Barrymore, right? Yeah. Like, either there's just no way around it for being a benefit to anybody else. And she doesn't want that. She wants to tell her story. Like, she was very, very clear. All of these documentaries are coming out. Everybody's telling my story. I want to tell my story, right? She doesn't want anybody else to profit off of that. And so I'm really happy that she did that. I was also super surprised, and I'm so happy that you put it in the notes here, that she's going into the 5150 stuff. You know, she, we let's get into the speculation of it all, right? Because we always speculate about Britney Spears, and that's just what's going to happen, guys.
Yeah.
I was so curious about how much she kind of remembers, because it seemed for a while like she blacked things out, mm-hmm. like truly blacked out portions of her life. Because she has been so hyper focused on certain things that it's really it's almost shocking when she brings this stuff up. Like, I just don't expect it.
I know. So it's always been rumored. I remember reading about that when I did like a Britney and Kevin episode a million years ago. It was always rumored that her mom that night had like tricked her into thinking that they were having a sleepover. And I remember reading that and, you know, saying that it was alleged, and I didn't know if it was true. I've never known if that was like 1000% true, that her mom was like, yeah, Britney, let's have a sleepover and blah, blah, blah. And like, just how menacing and manipulative and dark that is to think like you're hanging out with your mom and your mom knows that there's a whole circus outside waiting to like exploit you.
Like, so what do you think this was? Okay. Cause she did say that, her mom had mentioned, why don't we go to a hotel, baby? Do you think that was her mom trying to get her away from the house to not shield her from that, but to, because she knew somebody was coming? Or do you think her mom was trying to get her to a hotel so that it took place at the hotel rather than at the house?
I think her mom was trying to get ahead of it and act like she didn't know.
Ah, you're smart.
Like, oh, baby, let's get you out of here. Something bad's approaching. Even though she knows.
Like, yeah, she said like 2 hours later, it was is coming down on her, you know. Fucking wild, man. Just that is so wild, evil. The ins and outs of it. And the fact that you could so easily manipulate Britney in that way, right? Because when you say somebody's coming over, she's got people in and out of her house since she was 15 damn years old, right? Like managers, lawyers, all that. She says, you know, I thought it was lawyers coming. I didn't understand what they were talking about, you know? So how easy it is to manipulate her and be like, yeah, somebody's coming. But what you don't know is like, we're carting you off. You're going to be locked away.
And to think that that is a sound person in that stretcher, being wheeled out, seeing helicopters, the hundreds of people, police, ambulances, people beating on her door. Like, that is a sound person who was just completely had the rug pulled from under her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you know, to think like, you know, the stories of her like locking herself in her bathroom and stuff, like, can you imagine how fucking scary that is?
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally a horror movie.
Yeah.
You couldn't
She didn't know what was going on. That's the thing, is like, nobody at that time was taking into account that. Or how could we, though, right? Like, give us a little bit of a break there. It was wild watching. I didn't understand what I was even seeing, right?
Yeah.
Like, the only headline was that she locked herself in the room with the baby and a knife. That sounds wild.
Yeah.
And anybody, they weren't giving, like, little insiders. But she was fucking scared, and people were telling her, go and lock yourself in the room and we're going to take care of this out here, right? People are always taking care of the situation for her. Why would she believe any different? Why wouldn't she believe that somebody's out there taking care of it and getting the people to go away, you know?
Yeah. And to think every person she's talking to is just lying and tricking her. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so speaking of, one thing that I really wanted to talk about, because I talk about this all the time, and it's like a polarizing opinion. People always message me about it and ask, like, what the fuck are you trying to say? I always say that I think that Britney's relationship with the paparazzi was very, it was nuanced.
Yeah.
It wasn't just what you've been told in these documentaries. Like, these were the only people in her life these random men. They were like her only friends, in quotes.
Yeah.
So she would have random nights where they'd be out kikiing, like they'd be out driving around and she'd be letting them pump her gas and like just fucking kicking it all over LA all night, you know, because she was bored and didn't have her kids. And I like that she said in that thing, like, have like fucking with the paparazzi was one of the most fun things I've done in my career as a celebrity.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
There's tons of documentaries from that time, right, that would come out on, you know, whatever channels, like the Breaking Britney Spears or whatever, those documentaries that were coming out on TV at that time. And the paparazzi, they would interview the paparazzi, and the paparazzi would be like, she loves it. Look, she calls us. Look, she does this, she does that. I believe it. You know, I fucked up.
Fucked up.
It went way too far, and I do feel like somebody was trying to like run her off the road so they could get a. If they could have gotten a picture of her body like laying in a ditch in a car, just her hair cutting,
and that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. Yeah,
they wanted that, and I don't think that. I think both can be true, right? Like she could have been having fun and also not realized that they did not care about her. They cared about how much money they were making chasing her. Right? Exactly. She thought it was fun, and she was like. And she was using them too, right? Like she was having fun, like fucking with them. But I don't know if somebody in her position can really understand that she was like seconds from anybody just fucking with her a little too much and her going off a cliff or something like that.
The danger of that situation, I don't think she'll ever be able to wrap her head around it. Not really.
And how do you when you're, you know, from the time that you... you know, get your license, you have people on you all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was always her normal. Mm-hmm. It was never not something that just happened.
Yeah, and, it, you know, it was always hot and cold. I remember there a common thing that they would say to her all the time was like, oh, you like us again, Brittany? Oh, Brittany, do you like us again right now? Because it would be like, you know, at noon, it would be... yeah. Turmoil, they'd be terrible and she would be hating them and maybe crying, and then at like 1:30 she'd call them and then at 3 she'd be hitting their car with a camera because she hates them so much, but then at like 5 they'd be pumping her gas and she'd be giggling and talking about what she got at Rite Aid. Like, it was very hot and cold, and it's very confusing, I think, for people to understand who like weren't in it. You know,
she has said also that she was really lonely around that time. She said that a few times. And imagine had nobody been following her, she probably would have been like going out of her mind. Loneliness, right? Like I have been on a much smaller scale, like felt, I remember one time I broke up with a boyfriend in college and I felt like such a pain in my chest. And like, I was like having such anxiety and I was by myself and I was just driving around town, and like didn't know what to do. Well, when you have a bunch of people on you and you can interact with them and stuff like that, that loneliness doesn't feel so deep, maybe. And that's probably what was going on with her, right? Is that she can have a little bit of fun and like go and like, it wasn't safe. What she was doing wasn't safe. The way she was driving wasn't safe. I'm not gonna make excuses for that, but it's understandable, right? And I'm like, I do. I like that she said that.
Yeah, and to add to your point, I think it just shows how lonely she was. I mean, to fill that void, like she was like constantly chasing this like high, you know, like not having to feel what was going on in her life, and it was like never enough. It was almost like she wanted to just constantly live on a roller coaster.
Yes, but just, like when you were already, when you're basically like, let's say she was born at 16 years old, right? That's when she was, you know, able to that's really when her career started, right? So let's say she was had a whole rebirth at like 16 years old. When your whole life is a roller coaster from that point, and that there is no like real you basically have everything provided for you. You have like, if you want to go to this ball, if you want to go do this, if you want to go do that, for a long time she was able to do that, right?
Yeah.
She just had to, it came with the condition that she had to like be Miss Perfect, Miss American Dream, right?
Yeah.
That roller coaster, and you know, that time, 2007, probably didn't feel that abnormal to her. It didn't.
Yeah,
it
probably, that's how like, I feel.
I just don't think she even was like processing what we were seeing and how different we saw it. It was probably pretty normal for her. She was just kind of, you know, going out without security. That was the big difference, or something like that.
And like looking around and being like, well, they're doing this to Lindsay, they're doing this to Nicole, they're doing this to Paris, they're doing this to, like, you know, just thinking like this is like how it is and this is what happens to us and I live in LA and I'm famous, you know, like I don't think she saw it the way we saw it.
And she's like, I'm fine. I literally am fine. Like, y'all need to fucking cut the shit. I'm fine.
I'm going to go out again tomorrow and I won't even think about what happened today.
Yeah, there's a whole fucking psychology behind this that like none of us will ever understand. She probably doesn't even fucking understand it. No. Right? Like, it just is.
It's so layered.
A moment in time that just happened. Mm-hmm. It's just something that we have to just like be like, it happened, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot that we can really like make sense of.
Yeah. And like, you can't, we can't repent of it either. Like, trying to make it right by commenting weird shit on her Instagram and stuff. It's like, you can't, it was forever ago and she's moved on from it. And for that to be her big takeaway, like, I was like having fun.
Yeah,
like she looks at that, especially during the past however many years she's been so restrained and restricted and she can't even have a cup of tea.
Yeah,
she kind of looks back at those years and thinks like that was the ultimate turn up.
She's like, I was fucking turning up. I was my college girl years, you know,
changing outfits all day. Like, you know,
I'm telling you Black Britney with the black hair and the piled up in a bun with the red like over the shoulder shirt is always going to be my favorite Britney Spears look. Always
dark jeans, brown boots.
I need it on a shirt because I would wear that shit to hell. It's just like, you know, to reiterate, it's just not something we're ever going to be able to make sense of. And I think everybody's waiting for her to have that big interview moment where somebody asks her the 2007 question and she goes into it and says how tough it was. She's probably not going to do that. She's probably going to be like, people were overreacting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect a 40-year-old woman to go back and reflect so much on something like that if she really didn't see a problem with it, you know?
Because you just watched a Netflix documentary. That's not fair. It's not fair.
You know?
I my feelings were really hurt and it really affected me intensely when she talked about them telling her every day that she was fat and monitoring her meals and making her work out. And, you know, I just can't even imagine. Because she's kind of glazing over these things. Like, I can't even imagine the actual shit that they were saying to her and the discussions about her body while she's like sitting there and, you know, them watching her change and all of that stuff.
Yeah. And it's a weird mix of like, whenever day is Groundhog Day, right? Like, every day was Groundhog Day to her. And so when that is happening and when all of this comments about her body and all of this abuse she's taking, those are probably so mixed that she really can't like pull them out to the extreme that we do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was Groundhog Day for her every day. Your dad was screaming in her face every day or, you know, talking about this or that or the other. She's, again, when there's just so much in her life that she's not going to be able to single things out as much as we are wanting her to do, right?
Yeah.
She's gonna have to bundle them all together and we're gonna get these bundled stories of like a quick mention of like her dad screaming in her face or something like that, right?
Yeah you're right, because it's like her just having flashes of random shit and she went through so much.
Yes,
I mean, my god, it's like
what do we want her to do? We want her to pick it all out and like, you know, come up with dates and calendars and all of that. She's not gonna do that. The most recent thing that she really is able to like isolate is it's her lockup in 2019. Gosh, what are years anymore? 18.
Yeah, eight. I know. So my god, that feels like it was 40 years ago.
My Jesus. Ugh.
No, but you're right. And also, like, to me, hearing her say that really just solidified like how hard it must be for her to feel just continuously judged. To be out of that conservatorship and like to be so fucking judged by the public and picked apart. Like you have to think when you're commenting just dumb shit on her posts that make her so insecure that she's deleting them.
Yeah.
Like, think of like who you're doing that to. Like, it's really fucking wild to me.
I think she's also super over the fucking speculation of it all. I think she's tired of the speculation. She's tired of people commenting and like saying that she's not running her Instagram and stuff like that. I'm like fully on board with like, she's running her fucking life right now. She is. I don't see anything else sort of happening here. And I think she's fucking tired of people doing that. And it's just like one thing after the other. And now it's her kids. And like, she's tired of people fucking talking about it. Do you think she wants to talk about her fucking kids? No. She wants us all to shut up about all of this, right?
Just listen to the song she put out and shut the fuck up. That's what she wants. Honestly, like,
so, well, Britney put out the album.
I know.
Never enough. I won't speak about you ever again.
Give us a tour. We'll quiet up. Also, I really wanted to talk about her saying that she, listen, this is not negative to me. I'm not even going to present this in like a negative way. I'm going to say that I am not judging anybody who went and saw Britney in Vegas at all. I wish that I could have
gone. I would have. I already told you, if I wasn't a poor college kid at that point, I would have gone to see her. Absolutely. Yeah.
I never wanted to do it. I just didn't, not because I was like, oh, she looks, I wasn't being like a whatever. I just was like, she doesn't look like she wants to be doing
to be
it.
There.
Like, yeah, it never looked fun. I don't know how to say that without being an asshole.
There were a group of us who would speak out as Britney fans and say, I think Chris Crocker said it, and God, what's her name now?
Kara.
I'm on Kara. Call her Kara then. Kara Crocker. Is it still Crocker?
I don't know.
Kara.
Yes.
Right at the beginning of the Vegas thing, or maybe even during Femme Fatale, was one of the only people to say, she looks like a robot now. She looks like she is just doing paint by numbers dancing and not really like there is no soul behind her dancing anymore.
Yeah.
And everybody went in on her and like raked her over the coals for saying that. However, we were all fucking thinking it. Okay. There was something different about Britney. Everybody would bring up her knee and be like, her knee is the reason she's not dancing the same anymore, right?
Yeah.
We all did that. I didn't like go publicly and ever say I didn't even have a podcast then, but like I didn't ever go publicly and say, oh, well, Britney's just like, she doesn't dance the same, or she doesn't dance as good as she used to, right? I would have never have said that as a Britney fan. Yeah. I would just say, oh, well, she had a knee problem. She probably is never going to dance like that again, right? Kind of making excuses. And it's so refreshing to hear her own words saying, yeah, I didn't fucking dance because I didn't want to be there, right?
Yeah.
We knew she didn't want to be performing since before the circus. Like, Onyx Hotel would have been the last one for a very long time. It really would have. So it's always interesting to see the sort of, like, reckoning that we do as Britney fans and, like, what we kind of, like, look at to give us the permission to say it.
Man. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Now that she has said it, we can be like, yeah, she didn't dance this way. Let's just be honest. Okay, the wig and those opening shows, terrible. Yes, all of those wigs. Yes. She wore. Do you remember opening night? They spray painted abs onto her.
I'll never forget.
I didn't say shit. I just said,
I'll never forget. And those that burgundy shiny Halloween store wig.
She stood there, let them put whatever they wanted to put on her, and then went out on the damn stage and did whatever. Right,
just disassociated.
Yes. And what I fucking love, because we have also talked about this like a shit ton, during the Glory era, and I'm so happy she confirmed it, the fire, the spark was back because we felt it.
I thought about you.
Right?
I thought about you immediately.
It made me so happy to have that confirmed for myself because I see it when I look at the Glory era. She was just so present, right? That she was fucking excited. She was getting, you know, talking to boys, and she was, you know, really into her self-image again, right? And like into her artistry again. And I listened to the Glory album. Like, you know, I've been listening to it on repeat ever since then, because she, you know, she's fucking proud of Glory.
It's just like wild to me that they were all just so bad at management. Like, even if you were, let's say, like, you know, you put Britney in this conservatorship and you're gonna like work her like a damn dog or whatever. They even still were just bad at managing her career, even if things were normal. Like, they were bad at doing what they were doing. And for them to see the public's response to Glory and like how people embraced it and they loved it and critics loved it and it was praised and it was like her true comeback. It was like, wow, Britney really put her whole fucking hoof into this damn album.
Yeah.
And for them to be like, oh, we should dim this down. We, you know, it's getting a little out of control. She's enjoying interviews too much. Like,
I always wonder why that album didn't do so well, because I don't think I've landed on any specific answer. Because fucking Slumber Party is a top 10 song. Right, like that was that was something that should have been a whole ass moment. And I think Slumber Party, if they were going to do that, that video, that should have been like the first release, right? Like that was your hook.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know?
Make Me was not a great first release.
And I do love Make Me.
But it's like, good.
It wasn't the VMA song. It shouldn't have been like all of these different things that they tried to do. They tried to, because they did push it. Mm-hmm. I will say that they gave her, she was at the VMAs again. She was on Jonathan Ross, you know, doing promo. Oh,
She was doing promo again.
It's weird that they had Britney Spears being Britney Spears again, very willing and excited to step into the role of Britney Spears again. And they didn't run with that, right? Because I think they were already kind of settled with her being the kind of aging Vegas act, and they were just going to schedule her for as many shows as they could and milk that rather than she doesn't have a lot of career in front of her. She just has, you know, greatest hits, you know, that she's going to keep doing over and over.
Things that we can milk and merchandise and things that people will buy. Yeah, for sure. That's exactly probably what it was. Because it doesn't make any sense. I don't really understand why that album didn't do as well either, but I do think that it's just a fan album. Like, I don't think that album caters to non-Britney fans as much as her other albums do, where, like, anybody can listen to...
Troy.
I know.
It's just so upsetting. Because then even, like, what was it? 4 or 5 fucking years later that we got all of the artwork that was supposed to be for that album.
I know.
Like, Britney Spears in a kneeling position with fucking photoshopped crashed cars behind her.
Oh,
fucking
my iconic. God.
Okay, why didn't we get that?
Oh,
who made... I need her to talk about that, because I want to know who made those decisions. Whether she, like, nixed all of the artwork or, like, they did, you know?
Yeah.
Because what we got was the blurry fucking close-up shot of her, and we can't even tell she's on the damn cover. You know?
That, oh my God, it's such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Such a missed opportunity.
Who was that, David LaChapelle?
Yeah, it was David LaChapelle. Another thing that immediately obviously made me think about you was her bringing up her childhood friends. She brought up Courtney Jansen and Laura Lann, and that they came, you know, to Vegas to have a spa day, and she ended up not being allowed to go in the spa, and she had to sit in the car and wait for them while they drank champagne and got pedicures that she paid for, and they didn't acknowledge her existence.
Yeah.
That's disgust. It's like literally so foul.
And to bundle that with the rest of her family too, the mentions of her mother and her sister, she is, like we've been saying kind of in our past coverage, that she's looking for accountability. She needs some accountability. She even said it about her mom, that like her mom just makes excuses and said, well, I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. And she's like, Mom, I'm sitting here telling you what to do. Like, help me.
Right.
Britney just wants accountability from these people.
Yeah.
People, give it to her. Just say, so I'm sorry. And don't say no buts, no nothing. I am sorry for doing X, Y, Z. I feel like that would go so far with her. She might still be angry. She could be. It's her right.
Sure. But
she's tired of people like not doing that. And instead, all that everybody's doing is being like, Britney, you're so crazy. Why are you're just bringing all hate to my Instagram, Britney. Oh my God. People are talking about Maddie. Accept our love. Let me come to you.
We want
to
love you. You're being weird.
It's like, just like nobody's doing that, you know? And it's got to be so frustrating for her that instead of people just owning up to their bullshit and what they did wrong, that they all just want to be like, she is just being difficult right now. Britney is just being difficult, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I love that she said that too, that like, it was so much easier for everybody around her to just say, you know, she's difficult and she's crazy and, you know, she's the fuck up. Like, you know, we all know people like that. And some of us have been that person that, you know, people around you use you as the way to make them feel better because maybe you're not like doing so great. And they love to use you as like the mirror that they reflect themselves off of because it makes them feel better about themselves. And it sounds like that's what a lot of people were doing to her. Like,
yeah,
you know, especially her sister being like, well, she's the fuck up.
Let me release a book right at the heels of her right as she's being freed from all of this and kind of wants to like start her life. Let me release a book. Oh, why are you getting mad that I just released a book?
You're
you
know, so
it's
weird.
My story. You're only in 120 pages out of 130. You know, why are you being so mad?
And why do y'all think we're not getting along? I love her.
I love her. She literally just those boys. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Now, look, she sent Maddie and Ivy stuffed animals. You see this box full of stuffed animals? That's from Brittany.
I'ma always cherish her as a sister. Anyways,
fucking stupid,
fucking bitch.
I said that with your whole chest too.
I just said that, like, what's her name in The Craft? Stupid bitch.
Yeah.
Oh
my goodness. She, you don't have it on here. She was planning to run away with a man.
Oh, can we talk about that? Wait, go into that.
That was the wildest thing that she said in the entire fucking 20-minute voice note. I had my phone hidden under a stage. Because I had questions. She didn't detail it enough for me. Because I'm like, was she crawling under the stage to get on her phone and text a man or to run away with her? Is she like, what was happening? Because she just like, this is the thing that Brittany will do. She'll like, just drop a nugget of information as if it's so casual and everybody does it. And she's like, yeah, everybody puts their phones under the stage, right? They're hiding the phones. You're not supposed to have your phone on the stage, but it was under the stage, you know?
And I love that she's like, I looked over at somebody said, you know what I'm doing, talking to a man.
That's my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Felicia says, that's your boyfriend. Not my boyfriend, Felicia.
Wait, so was that Sam? Or
who? No, it couldn't have been.
No, it would have been so.
Yeah. I don't know who the fuck it was. I have no idea. There's a lot of people throwing everything out there. Some people like brought up the lizard guy who looked like a lizard and like took a picture. He was one of her dancers, apparently. So, I don't fucking know, man. But that's wild.
Oh my God.
That's wild.
That is
it's crazy
wild.
That she was like thinking and chatting with a man about running away. And
yeah,
could you imagine Britney Spears running away like that,
like a full girls on or boys on the side moment, like just you know what I mean, like
I don't even know what to make of it. I don't know.
It's like crazy. And when she said you know, I didn't, because it's just like the thought of like what my dad would do, you know. It's so wild to think like she was in fear that her father would kill her. Like, yeah. I don't think people really take that into account. And she's not like saying it sarcastically. She actually was like thinking that her dad would murder her.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
God, she wanted to run across the country with a man. I can't.
I wonder if people actually told her that like she was gonna die from X, Y, and Z, or like, you know,
I'm sure
do that kind of manipulative thing where they're like, you'll be dead if you don't have me, or something like that.
Or like,
I wonder,
you're not safe out in the world without, you know, without
that's
me.
If fucking that... insane. Like, I don't even know how to. She didn't give us enough information. I hope that's fucking 5 chapters in the book, because the fact that she was like considering, the biggest pop star in the world was considering running away to another country with Jesus. A man, as if she would have never been spotted or anything, right? Like, where was she going to go? A country house? Was she going to go stay in Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's like vineyard? Where was she going? I need like
honestly,
plans.
That is the kind of thing, not to be super dark, but that is, they would have killed her, because that was before we knew anything going on.
Yeah.
And they had already. And I'm not trying to be a but like,
I think
listen,
they were going to.
I think it was going to.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of, so like when it comes to Mariah Carey, also talked about this when she had her alleged breakdown, where she said like they had already established publicly that I'm crazy. So if I die, then it's extremely easy to just paint some story that I like killed myself or whatever, you know?
Yeah. The it was that last her being committed to the institution the last time, that was the start of it. It would have happened in her 40s. Yeah. I don't even think that's being a conspiracy theorist. I think that's just like we've seen that. I go back to Michael Jackson. Like, if fucking all they had to do was put her on a real dangerous path.
Absolutely.
She fucking is sitting in an institution getting blood drawn, what is she called? Blood galls? I don't know.
Galls.
I love her words because I do that too. I would just invent words for myself.
Yeah. It's very Southern. My
and grandma she doesn't understand why they're taking all this blood from her all the time. And because she brings it up every single time she talks about this stay mm-hmm. at this place. And she's like, I don't fucking know why they were taking blood from me. Nobody still has given me answers over that. Why were they taking blood from me?
Yeah.
And really, like now I want to know why they're taking blood from her. What was going on?
I know that there's somebody had messaged me about that and said that they like worked in the medical field, and like when you give people certain medications, it requires, I think, I forget which one she said, but when you give people certain, it was the one that she said, like she was nervous about lithium.
Lithium was how it was going to happen. I don't even know if she was going to die. This is the thing. I think they were going to kill Britney Spears. I think they were going to make her fucking crazy on that lithium. That lithium I feel like they were really trying to dose her up on that shit. Wear her mind down and put her in a fucking place.
Yeah. Right? Oh God, it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
And one of the last things that I did want to really touch on was the AA stuff, because it was always painted to us that Britney had like an issue with alcohol and that she was like an alcoholic. And that was like the way that they chose to paint this, that like she's an old drunk and that was the reason that all that stuff was happening, and Britney's an alcoholic and that's that, and that's why her dancers can't drink. And I love her being like, I was not an alcoholic, like they just put me in AA. And the fact that she started liking going, because she liked listening to the people's stories, they were in quotes brilliant, as Britney would put it, and then for them to take that away from her, it's like you forced her in AA without her even having like an alcohol problem, and then you take it away when she starts to enjoy AA.
Yeah.
Like to have such little in your life that you going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings for no reason being taken from you is like a blow.
I think that she even said that in when we heard her speak to Judge Penny back in again, these years are blending together, 2020, 2021, whatever it was, last year. When she spoke to the judge, she mentioned that she had made friends at AA and then all of a sudden wasn't allowed to see them because they were bad people who would put her down a bad path, right? They were isolating her. They were isolating her from everybody and anybody. She says all the time, I just want to be part of the people. I love seeing the people. I love watching out the window and seeing what their lives are like. Yeah, you know, taking flowers to his girl, or yeah, he's taking flowers to his girlfriend. His girlfriend's waiting on him in the apartment with flowers and rose petals. And like, that's what she does. And getting to talk to these people, they probably had such real lives and wanted nothing from her.
Yeah.
That she was so enticed by something like that.
Yeah. Authentic conversations,
people who weren't on her fucking payroll, you know. Mm-hmm. Like they were excited Britney Spears was showing up at the AA meeting, but they weren't, they got nothing from her, nothing.
Yeah, you know? And she's always been so enticed by like what she perceives to be a normal person, like what does she call her, all of her exes? Simple.
Simple. He's just so simple. And but I love that she says this, because like it's so magical that she's like, I get to see the world through his eyes, and his eyes are just so simple, you know. He's so stupid. I love him.
Yeah, I know. He's such a fucking idiot. Idiot.
He's never even had a steak. And I love to watch him eat steak for the first time. You know,
he's never ordered room service in Italy. It was so cute.
Never been out of Bonton County, you know.
It was just so fucking, and people have been messaging me that, like, you know, because Britney at this point could do anything and like it'll turn into some like conspiracy, and a lot of people now, like the BNN people, don't think that it was real, and they don't think that they think that she was forced to record it.
This recording, they're saying that for this,
that's a thing. It's wild, I know.
But then you can't question it, because they're like, we were right the first time.
Yeah, I know. They're like, well, somebody messaged me. They were like, well, there are pauses, and it seems awfully inconvenient.
Yeah, because there's voice. I edit, guys. Let me tell you something about somebody who edits voice daily. It's a voice note. There are multiple voice notes, either multiple voice notes, or it's one long one that multiple parts are cut out of. There are clear cuts in it. That means nothing. I edit everything. You listen to any one of my podcasts, you will see cuts, okay? Anything.
You guys just got Zach to snap in a V formation. It's not good. He's angry.
I'm fucking, I'm like, P pissed.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, being on. I don't know. Let me say, Troy's borderline being on. So
how dare you? How
Jesse said it. Jesse said it. Jesse said it. Speaking of Jesse, I do want to bring up the guy who like went on a whole Twitter rant saying fuck the NDAs and
oh my god, yes.
Can we talk about him just for a moment? I don't even know what his name is. Yes,
absolutely. Brittany's Vault posted it, I think. I don't remember his name either, but this guy had posted on Twitter basically saying, like, listen, I want nothing out of this. I just worked with her for a little while and I saw some like weird shit. And
I don't know if I believe all of it, but I believe everything he said, all of his experiences. I don't know if I believe that in 2022 he's like, oh, I just think it's the right thing to do and I don't care about the NDA anymore. It's like, you waited a long time for to not care about the NDA, sir.
True. That's true. That is very true.
But I believe everything he said.
I believe what he said too.
Ran, oh my gosh, and if you went into the comments of that, did you go into the comments? Oh, yes. And people were like, which performance was it that she ran out? Down the rabbit hole, he goes into this whole Twitter thread and he says that there was one night where he could just hear her yelling that she didn't want to be she wasn't going to go on stage then, and so she took off running, that somebody said call Jamie and they went and got her. They like physically got her. And the like wings that were for every time went up without her, but then they like the lights went off and they came back and they put her in the fucking thing. And I watched the video, the one that they're saying was her, and she looks very over it, right? Yeah. She looks like she's just every time
there.
I tried to find
literally. And he knew the date.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, and he had talked about how they made, and he described this really sad moment where she was like waiting for her cue and like the curtain was closed and she was like holding her ponytail and she just looked miserable.
Yeah.
And she like made eye contact with him because he wasn't allowed to talk to her, but he like and he also had said like, you know, I'm gay, and like there were moments where I wanted to be like, bitch, like you fucking killed that. Like,
I love this.
Yeah,
that he was from the outset of these tweets, this Twitter thread, he said, I really got the job because I wanted an inside scoop. I wanted to be there in the room.
Yeah.
I am a Britney stan, but I won't tell nobody I'm a Britney stan. But yeah. I really wanted to tell her, you're killing it. You're killing it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't.
And he couldn't. Yeah. And like, he knew that all she wanted was just like one person to be like, great job, or like anything. But he said
it was so eerie when they made eye contact, right? That one moment where they just like, she just made eye contact with him for like a minute.
And she was like, just miserable. And he said like you could tell that there was just like an intense sadness that like you can't even really describe, and that's just like I would have been, I mean, you and I would have been fired within seconds because there's absolutely no fucking way that I would have been able to
I'd had a restraining order against me like pretty quickly. Sure. I'd have grabbed her by the wrist and ran. We'd have hid under the stage with her phone until everybody went home, and then we ran out. I'd have called Celine Dion, whoever the fuck I could get a hold of. Okay,
Jamie would have had us killed for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fucking Eden and Black Box would have had us dead.
We would have been cement blocked to the bottom of some Louisiana fucking swamp.
We'd be on Jamie's property, in his storage unit in a drone,
like Pulp Fiction style, tied up somewhere.
Hell, man.
Wow. But I'm sure everybody listening to this has definitely heard the voice note by now. If you haven't, I suggest you listen. It's
very that was just a bomb that we didn't even expect. So I guess we had to cover it because we do want to do the we're gonna do the Kevin stuff, but that's got to be its own thing. You know, we've really got to like, oh, are we gonna do that reading or should we wait?
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Let's just do you it, read it because it's you going out it. To tomorrow. Son of a bitch.
You read it.
Okay, so Brittany posted on Instagram, like we said, like right before this. And she said, now I'm all embarrassed. Okay, our tiny dancer said, I've tried my best at being the best person I can be. To be basically held hostage in homes and under nurses and bullshit, I hope my kids one day understand my reasoning of my play in the water. Revealing myself as any woman would. Let me try to go into her voice a little bit. As any woman would, being held under blankets and supervision under the conservatorship. Finally, at 40, without the restraints of what my family did to me, I say to my son, Jaden, that I send all the love in the world to you every day for the rest of my life. My love for my children has no boundaries, and it deeply saddens me to know his outcry of saying I wasn't up to his expectations of a mother. And maybe one day we can meet face to face and talk about this openly. Maybe, dear child, you can explain to me why our family would do that to anyone. I helped your father. I helped your father who hasn't had a job in 15 years. I assume it is easier for you guys to not have someone check on you to make sure you're doing your homework. And if I bring lotion into your room because your face is coarse, that was just my own part. Sorry, guys. That's the voice I'm hearing it in, though. Can you hear it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm sure the standards of your dad smoking weed every day benefits your daily life at 15 and 16 to partake in a very cool generation. I completely understand your need to live with your father, as I had to play the perfect role for 15 years for absolutely nothing. I'm so happy I was able to carry four tours, Judge X Factor, and way more. I did that for you. And Preston, I'm aware of your gift. I know you're a teacher in my life, and dear child, I'm a teacher for you as well. It's horrible to see your dad be a hypocrite and say the media is horrible, yet he has you talking, this is four pages, has you talking about personal matters to them. If you could pause for a second, remember where you came from. I hope you can look in the mirror and remember you are my child and always will be. Since Preston didn't speak, I send my love. I would love nothing more than to see you two face to face. Keep playing your gift on the piano. You and your brother are both brilliant, and I'm so proud to call you mine. As for my mental health, my dear child, understand that you must learn to pick up a book and read one before you resort to thinking about my intellect, sweetheart.
Yes! Get him, Brett!
Tell your father to go try to at least mow the lawn. P.S. If you can honestly sit back and say with your reasonable or with your sensible, brilliant mind that Meemaw and Pawpaw, what they did to me was fine and call them not bad people, then yes, I have failed as a mother. And hopefully that's a chat for you and your father to sit face to face and try to learn what's good.
Bitch, if you ever for a second doubted Britney Spears as a mother, you better read that. Mm-hmm. She let him have it in the most mom way.
Mom!
That is
mama.
Mama. It is giving mother, darling.
Yes.
I mean, that was like the in that last sentence where she said, if you think that it's okay what they did to me, then I did Cavill as a mother.
Yeah.
I can't. Because again,
this is where I kind of stand on it. I'm not saying shit about their kids, right? I'm not ever going to say anything about her kids. Her kids are still kids. They are still minors. They still are whatever. They were parented a certain way. They were parented to believe a certain thing, right? Mm-hmm. That is what they believe. You have a problem with it. You go to KFAN. And I love that she's calling his ass out. Dad has not had a job in 15 years.
Right.
And let's talk about that. Ask your father about that.
When he released those videos of her parenting and you and I were spiraling when I was still in Miami, the thing that you and I talked about specifically, and this is my number one takeaway, and I'm so fucking happy she brought it up, was that, yeah, of course, two teenage boys like living with their bumfuck dad who smokes weed all day and doesn't have responsibilities. Obviously, it's a party all the time.
Yes.
I would like a sleepover at the fucking Federline house. It sounds like a turn up.
All the way to the feds house. Let's go. Let's go.
Like, are you kidding me? Versus their other parent who isn't allowed to drink tea and can't swipe a credit card and has no access to money. And
they didn't want to be babied. They didn't want to be babied as teenagers. And she probably fucking did that, right? Because it's not like she has access to them 24/7, right? She's parenting them when she is allowed to parent them. Okay. Exactly. So she might baby them a little bit more. She might and also She's just a fucking mother, and nobody, there's no mother who's perfect. My mom, I learned the F word from my mother, right?
Me too.
So if the point that K-Fed was trying to make when he released those videos with that she said was that she's, and you're being fucking weird because you're going through puberty and you're wearing bare feet. And Preston, are you okay with your brother's barefoot shoes on barefoot eyes and size 12 shoes? Are you
not people can out by that? See you?
I have no idea what she said, but I was for it. I'm like, yes, yes, you're right, Brittany. Yes.
Like, and you know that Kevin is letting them, I've never been to the Federline household, but yeah. They are teenage boys and Kevin Federline is their dad. They're doing a bunch of crazy fuck shit in that house. You know, he's letting them like bring girls over. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're like partying. He doesn't work.
He's the cool dad. And then what's happening is he is pushing this sort of narrative onto them that they are, I'm already seeing it in headlines, that they are having to deal with traumatic situations. They very well could be. We don't know what's outside of those videos. I feel like he would have released shit had it been worse than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to get into the K-Fed stuff, but I'm fucking glad that she is like, she shouldn't have to say anything. We shouldn't be privy to this shit, but because K-Fed has made it all public and likes to sit up on that couch. And every time I see that fucking advert for that interview on Sunday, it boils my blood because he is sitting there just like he did in Chaotic, as if he has earned the spot to sit there and tell a story about any sort of celebrity life. He got fucking lucky and had a good enough dick that she got dicked down, got pregnant, got married, and ended up with his ass for the next 18 years.
That's the comparison to Chaotic with him sitting with like his arm behind
his chair. All the way. Just a little older this time. Bro.
Yeah, like a little more pot belly, but it's still Kevin. And, you know, and he just feels so entitled to this life that he has. And it's just oh my God. But I have seen that, you know, the network is worried about the intense public response to them even airing it. So
they
it's
don't
gonna backfire.
Fucking interview him, maybe. Maybe don't interview. Maybe he wasn't the one to interview. Right. Okay. Because now you're cut. You ain't getting an interview from her ever. Okay. Ever. If there's ever a chance, now you got K-Fed. Enjoy it. Victoria Federline, go. There you go. There you go. Okay.
And I'm canceling my subscription to ITV, exactly. Right? Whatever the fuck that even is.
Idiots television.
Do you have any idiot television? Do you have any closing thoughts, points, things you're upset about? Are you drinking coffee, by the way?
I'm like double fisting coffee and pineapple cider. So.
I was going to say, what is going on over there? Okay,
Have anxiety when I record that. I have to be touching something at all the time, and drinks do that for me. Me and Troy are going to Vegas this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very nice. We're very excited for that. We're going to record a little something, and we're going to start doing year by year Britney Spears like little episodes where we just talk about the year through the headlines and the stories. And so we're going to start with 1998. That'll be a whole episode, and then we'll like, as we have time, go through it and all the way up to the prison.
So
that's the one I'm excited to cover, honestly. I'm really excited to go back to 1998, cover her emergence as the Princess of Pop.
Can I ask what year you're the most excited for? I already know, but I just want to ask.
I don't know.
Can I guess, actually?
Yeah, guess for it.
I mean, I would guess that you would be excited to talk about either 2002 or 2001.
I don't think so. So this is going to sound like super, yes and no, right? This is going to sound super, I don't know, like gossip channel or, you know, deep dive channel. Her turbulent years, I think those are the most relatable. That like now being an adult, I recognize that sort of like anxiety and that sort of like push for some sort of understanding of who you are as a person and like figuring out yourself. So I think like 2004 to like 2007, you know.
Yeah, I get
that. Those are my favorite years that I'm like really looking forward to covering.
I totally get that. And being able to cover like more than just like the actual art, you know, like the stuff. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Even going back to like maybe 2003, you know, like the beginning of the whole In the Zone stuff, because that's really where we saw her start to like break out of the Britney Spears mold, you know,
really blossom. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited. What about you? 2001.
Is it?
You know how I feel about 2001.
That's great. This is going to be a really fun one. It's going to be super casual, so you won't get one every week. It'll be like, you know, we might get really excited, record like three, and then you have a month off, you know?
Yeah. That's very me and Zach recording.
We postponed this damn recording like five times this week.
We did.
That's it, though. Yeah.
I texted Zach that there's comfort in our flakiness for me.
Because I you're the only exactly.
I'm a flaky girl.
That's the you're the only person that I don't feel like anxious texting, hey, can we push it, you know, three times in a week.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, yes, of course, yes. No
till
problem.
The very last moment until you have to put it out tomorrow morning. But you have to edit this one, I don't. So
I know.
Enjoy.
Well, Zachary, tell people where they can find you. I can't imagine anybody listening doesn't know at this point, but let them know.
You can find me on the Pornhub at Adventures of Zach and Bay. No,
you can find Zach on gutterwhores.net.
come Gleslers. find me at, I'm all flustered now. Coffee and Tequila, you can search that. You can search Adventures of Zach and Bay. You can search My Bloody Judy. My stuff will pop up if you top any of those in.
Well, Zach, I love you. I can't wait to see you tomorrow or today.
I know. It still doesn't feel like it.
It's like really, really crazy, especially you sitting behind in front of that Live from Las Vegas poster. It's like very surreal.
Oh, yes. It's We've planned this whole trip around food, so we're real excited.
I know. We're going to take some fun Britney recreation photos. It's going to be great.
And if any of y'all have any suggestions of what we should go do, let us know.
Please, yes, because this will be out while we're there. So please, if you
there any Britney like memorabilia? Are there any Britney like costume pieces or boots or like tennis shoes that are up for display anywhere in Las Vegas? Yeah. We can't for the life of us find anything.
If there's anywhere that we can go look at like just memorabilia, even if it's like stupid stuff, like I just want to see something. There's got to be something left in Vegas. They had all of her shit there. There has some place like. There's got to be a Planet Hollywood that has a fucking...
All the hair extensions that she shaved off? Those got to be a Planet Hollywood. Yeah. I put them in Planet Hollywood.
Miss Vicky sold those. Miss Vicky Salon.
Where is she now?
Vicky's on next week. You guys, I love you so, so much. Zachary, thank you for doing this with me, of course. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.